We're going to do Daf Lamed in Pesachim. We're actually holding about halfway down the Daf already, halfway down the Amud on Daf Lamed. The Gemara that before we had just done, just to reiterate, because it is part of Daf Lamed, is this idea that if you have chametz on Pesach, if it gets mixed into something, that's not chametz. So we came out with Maskana. Let's just read the top of the Gemara, because there's a whole cheshbon over here of when it's considered batal or not. The Gemara's Maskana was like this. Amar Rava Hilchasa, starting from the top of Daf Lamed Amar Aleph. Hilchasa chametz bezmanoi, during Pesach itself, if chametz falls into something, ben bemina, ben shalai bemina, whether it falls into something that is similar in type or different in type, aser b'mashu, it doesn't matter what the amount is, it's aser. Kirav, that's like Shutas Rav, that held that if it's b'minoi, it's never batal. And even shaloi b'minoi, we make a gzera because of minoi. So therefore, they're all, both asr. Shaloi b'zmanoi, but after Pesach, ben b'mina ben shaloi b'minoi, whether it falls into its own kind or something else, mutter, that's always going to be mutter, k'rav shimin. Now we say it's like Shutas Rav Shimin, that says that after Pesach, it's really completely mutter. And therefore, it doesn't matter what it falls into, because it's anyway mutter. The Gemara asked me, Amar Rava Hachi, did Rava really say that it's always mutter? Amar Rava, Rav Shimon, Knasa, Kanis. We saw back in our Mishnah that even after Pesach, we make a Knas, and we consider Chametz after Pesach still Asur. Since you were over on the Pasuk of Bal Yirah, keeping it over Pesach. The Gemara answers, that's true. It is true that it's Asur after Pesach, but that's only talking about even the Chametz directly. But if it's mixed into something else, we allow it to get mixed in, it's going to be mutter. And Rava goes to Shitosa that after Pesach, it's really mutter. The Amar Rava, when we were in the yeshiva of Nachman, he have enough yeshiva yomid pisach when Pesach was over. Amar Lon, he used to tell us, "Paikuv zvinu chamira de b'nei chela, go ahead and sell it. You're allowed to have hanor from it after Pesach." So we see that Rav Shita is that after Pesach chometz shabbat of Pesach is going to be mutter, at least b'hanor. It's not also to eat, but it's mutter b'hanor like Rav Shimon Shita. Fine. Now the Gemara starts with a new thing. Amar Rav, kederos. What about if you have a pot, that had chametz in it, and you now want to use that pot on Pesach. Now, I'll tell you, the maskana of the Gemara is that we're talking about an earthenware pot, so that will explain a couple things why we say what we're about to say. The question is, can I use my earthenware pot that I used for chametz during the year, can I use that on Pesach or not? So that Rav says, Yishabru, you have to break it. So the Gemara asks, why do I have to break it on Pesach? Why do I have to break it? Why don't I just wait after Pesach? Because remember, again, after Pesach it's going to be mutter again. And I'll cook it. Let's say until now I used it for spaghetti. So I'll use the shaloi b'minoi. I'll use it with meat or something else. And it'll become bottle shaloi b'minoi. So why can't I allow that? So why do I have to break it on Pesach? Why can't I just wait till after Pesach and be mevatel it after Pesach? The Gemara answers, Gezeira Dilma also the Mevad Behu B'mino, because we're afraid that I may end up using it after Pesach with Mimino, and we paskin, according to Rav Shita, remember, we don't paskin like Rav, but Rav Shita himself is, that B'mino, it's going to continue to be also even after Pesach. And therefore, Rav says, I can't wait till after Pesach. I'm going to have to break it right now, because even after Pesach, there's still a gezeira. Rashi says, not only, first of all, we don't paskin like Rav, but Mino, it's also after Pesach. And besides that, we also have a different shita, which is not really so negeya over here, but there's a concept called noisen tam lifgam, that any time that I have anything that falls, something that's not kosher falls into something that's kosher, but it produces a bad taste. It's a downgrade as opposed to an upgrade. We also hold Nesan Tam Lefgam is also not, it's not considered a contributing factor to make it awesome. So here also, that if you have a Pesach, and after 24 hours, any bleas, anything that's absorbed in a pot, after 24 hours is considered halachically noisen tam lefgam. So anyway, by definition, leaving it till after Pesach is going to, anyway, be noisen tam lefgam. It should be mutter theoretically. But again, Rav doesn't hold of that. And that's why Rav's shita is that after Pesach is going to continue to be osur, so I might as well break it even on Pesach. That's Rav's shita. Shmuel Omar, lo yishabru. You don't have to break it right away on Pesach. Have a mashu luhu la'achas manoi. You taka, wait for it after Pesach. And then you can use it, and you just cook with it after Pesach, and it'll become bottle because v'az the shmuel time, because we just explained before that shmuel shita is damar shmuel hanu demis. Because shmuel shita is, as we said before, that he passes like Rav Shimon, that after Pesach it's always mutter anyway, so it doesn't matter whether it's min b'minoi. After Pesach it's mutter. Now where do we see this? The Gemara brings another interesting. Right, the Amar Shmuel Lahanu de Mezavni Kandi, that the people who used to sell jars after Pesach, he used to say to them as follows: Ashvu Zvini Akandun Daichi, go ahead and sell your jars for proper prices. Meaning, because what happened was after Pesach, people needed to restock. Before Pesach, they got rid of all their chametz. They didn't sell it like we did. They used to get rid of it completely. So now they had to restock. They had to buy new jars. So he said, you better not price gouge over here. You better do a proper price on your jars. Because if you don't put, if you overcharge, if you start, cornering the market, if you start, raising the prices, gouging the prices. So darshin aluchu, I'm going to darshin to Reb Shimon. I'm going to paskin like Reb Shimon that holds us completely mutter, and people are going to realize that they don't need you. They, instead of throwing out their jars, they'll just hold on to their old jars, and they won't need you to. They'll use their old jars from before Pesach. So if you guys behave, I'll make people still think that they need new jars, and you'll be able to sell it. But if you're going to overprice things, I'm going to put you out of business. Now, so the Gemara asks, Velidrus Lahu, why Taka is he allowing this to happen? Why doesn't he go ahead and paskin like Shmuel, like Reb Shimon rather, and let everybody use their old jars? So Gemara answers, and why not? Velidrus Daha Shmuel Kareb Shimon's really like, because he Taka holds like Reb Shimon that it's really mutter. So Gemara answers a very big Yisoid, Asre de Rav Havi. He was in the city of Rav. He was in Rav's city, and Rav Taka held that after Pesach it was Aser. So Mamela, he wasn't going to, even though he personally held that, in, like Rav Shimon, that it's Mutter, but he wasn't going to paskin in Rav's city, like not like Rav. So therefore he said, I'm going to let you get away with it, but if you guys go overboard, I'm going to take control of the situation. I'm going to let people know that it's really, they don't need you. That they're really the jars from before Pesach are Mutter. All right, now, a new thing. Ahu Tanura, there was an oven, the Tachuve Tichya, that they smeared it with a meat product, with fats. So the problem is that when you cook in the oven now, it's going to give a meat, it's nice and tam of the meat. So Osra Rava Bara Yeloi Lemechle Lerifta. Rava says you may not eat that bread at all, afilu b'milcha, even to dip it into salt. And certainly to take that bread and eat it with milk, that's for sure a problem. Lo'ilam. Forever this meat is going to be usher, even if you're not going to dip it into milk, to use this bread as usher. In other words, you're not allowed, as we're going to see, you're not allowed to make bread, bake bread, to either be fleishiks or be milchiks. You're not allowed to do that. Bread has to be parv. That's the halacha. Why? Because we're afraid that if you make it, in this case, fleishiks, we're afraid that you may come and dip it into milk, and therefore, obviously, you're going to eat basar b'chalav, it's a big problem. So therefore, bread always has to be parv. That's what he paskins. So meisvei alesh yustiro, it says, ein losh, and say isa b'chalav. You're not allowed to put milk into the dough itself. V'im losh, and if you do, kol ha'pas kula asura, that bread is asur, mipnei hergel aver, because it's going to end up causing somebody to do an aver, meaning they're not going to realize that the bread is milchik, and they're going to end up using the bread with fleishiks. Kiyot zavoy. Here's the stira. The stira is kiyot zavoy. Similarly, ein toshen es hatanur ba'al yo. You're not allowed to smear an oven with fats, which obviously adds a good taste. But the problem is, if you do this, if you smear the oven with fat, the imtash kol apas kula asura. The problem is that the bread is going to be also that you bake with the bread in it, with the fats in it, until you rekindle the bread, the oven, meaning you let the oven cool down and you do it a second time. Now, ha husukataner miyashari. But now we're saying that once I let the oven cool down and I redo it, it's going to be mutter. But based on what we just said, according to Rab, what's his name? According to Rav Bar Yiloi, it was usher forever. That once I smeared the oven with fat, it was usher forever, not just one time. So the answer is, tiyofta the Rav Bar Yiloi, tiyofta enachanami, we don't hold of that. We hold it's only usher as long as it still has the fats in. But once you let the oven cool down, you could use it in the future for something else. So Amalei Ravino the Ravashi, the Chimiacher the Isvei Rova Bar Yiloi. So if we don't paskin like we shlugged them up, so Amayka Amar Rav Kederes Pesach Yishabra. So now according to the Shita, why does Rav hold that the pots after Pesach are also let them be cooked in a way that it's going to let actually reheat them with not chametz sticker materials and then they'll be mutter. Amalei Hasam Taner Shomateches Hacha Begederes Shal Cheres. The difference is, as we explained before, that the case where he said you have to break them is talking about earthenware. And the problem with earthenware is once they absorb, they never get rid of the things that they absorb, and therefore they continue to have chametz, and it's chametz over a level Pesach, so it's going to be yasser. Whereas when you have metal is very simple, very easy to kasher, as we're about to see in a second. You just rekindle it a second time, and that will, in a parv way, and it'll be kasher. So it's not a problem. When we were talking about over here that it's mutter, this oven is mutter, we're talking about a metal oven. Another answer is, no, they can both be talking about earthenware, so the choyrit should be a problem. The difference is, though, the problem, the difference is, how do you light it up? An oven, you light up the fire on the inside, and it gets rid of the blias from the inside of the things that would come back out, would be coming out towards the fire. So the fire has the ability to pull out the chametz, or pull out the yisr. Whereas when you light the fire from the outside, on the back side of the heat of the fire is not really able to get rid of the blias that are going to go into the kli. So when I have a pot, for example, the fire is underneath the pot, the food's inside the pot, so those blias that go in will never fully come out because the fire is on the wrong side. Okay, so fine, if that's my issue, so I'll go ahead and I'll put the fire on the inside. I'll light it up with coals on the inside. The problem is that people, to put coals on the inside is going to end up destroying the pot. It's not really built to hold fire on the inside, so it's going to get destroyed, and therefore people aren't going to really do a proper job. They're going to end up trying to do it on the outside, and they're not going to really kosher it properly. And mamela, we have to leave it with being osur completely. Hilkach. So therefore, the rule is as follows: Hai buchya, if you have this type of thing that has the ability to be able to be lit from the inside, it's made out of tiles or something. So hasika me bechutz hu ba'osur. If you try to light it up from the outside, it's taka osur. The malya gumri shaper dami. But if you fill it up with coals, then anachanami, since it can withstand the heat from the inside, if you taka do heat it up from the inside, anachanami, that's a good way to kasher it, and you're able to use that, utensil on Pesach, assuming that you did kasher it properly. Okay, so amalei ravino, Amalei Ravina, got it? So Amalei Ravina, the Ravashi. So Ravina said to Ravashi the following: Hani Sakini. This is very interesting the way the Gemara goes through here. Hani Sakini bepischa hechi avdino lohu. What do you do with your knives on Pesach? In other words, you have knives during the whole year, and you need knives for Pesach. So what do you do with your knives in order so that you can be able to use them on Pesach? So Amar Le, sort of Ashi answers, I make new ones. So he says, no problem. I have a different set of silverware for Pesach. Amar Le, Sir Avina said to him, Tenach Mar. Okay, that works for you, as Rashi explains, because he was very wealthy. So he was able to go ahead and buy another set of silverware, the Efshirle, which is, by the way, good. We see that if you can afford it, you should have another set of silverware, which is why Taka Baruch Hashem, nowadays we have the ability to, and we all have extra sets of silverware and utensils that we use on Pesach. However, the real question is, Tenach Mar, the Efshirle, you have the ability to buy yourself new stuff. Okay, but if I don't have the ability and I only have one knife and I need that knife, so what do I do? Amar le, so Ravashi says, that's what I meant anyway. And Avada, I realized that if people aren't going to go ahead and buy new stuff, I meant you make it like new. What do? Kasiyayo betina. First, I cover the knife with some sort of cement of some sort. Uparzalayu, and then I roast it. Benura, in the fire. And I put it over the fire. So I put it over the fire so that I first cover it with cement so that it doesn't get ruined. But on the other hand, I heat it up so it doesn't get ruined directly from the fire. But on the other hand, I heat it up as if it was libun. I make it white so that it was directly, so that anything that was absorbed in the knife comes out. And I kashered it, basically, and then I'm able to use it on Pesach. V'hodem ma'alino l'kasayu b'roischen, and then I take it and I take off the the cement, the cover, because now it's not being touched directly by the fire, and I boil it in Roschim in a Kli Risha, and that's what we do. So Mamela, he's saying that basically I kasher it, I turn it into a new Kli, I make it as if it's starting over again. And that's why it's Mutar on Pesach. The Hilchasa, and the Halacha is like this, we don't have to do Uba Kli Rishon. We don't have to go ahead and put it directly in on top of fire, we don't have to do Libun, it's just enough to put it into a Kli Rishon. Now, what's missing from this Gemara is a lot of the qualifications that go into that. This business of putting it into a Kli Rishon and being able to cook it is only talking about where it's the kind of utensil where you only used it in the first place to make it chametz stick in a Kli Rishon. So if I use it in a Kli Rishon, so we hold Kabbalah Kach Polto, that's the Gemara is going to say in a moment. But the point is that this Gemara is not referring to the kind of things that I used on a fire. If it was directly in touch with a fire to make it chametz stick or usur in any other case, I also have to kasher it by putting it directly on the fire. We're talking specifically with type of kelim. So Rav Ashi's chiddush was that we don't paskin like Rav Ashi was saying that even for kelim that became chametz stick through a kli rishon, Rav Ashi was saying that you have to burn it on fire as well. which is a very big chiddush. But we don't pass him that way. Amar Rav Huna Bereid the Rav Yeshua. Eight paru. Now, what do you do with glazed? Glazed meaning that it's an earthenware keli which is covered with some sort of metallic covering on top of it. So how do you kasher that? On the one hand, it's the metal that's really coming into contact with the food. On the other hand, it does have earthenware underneath it. Like the classic example is our crock pots, or some of the crock pots that we have are earthenware kalim that have a glaze on top of them. So what is it? What are we paskin? Again, I'm not paskining what we do with those, but I'm just saying as an example. Magi'iloi v'royischin u'b'kli rishon. This is not a problem. You just cook it in a kli rishon, you dip it into a kli rishon, and that should be enough to, because the metal is the thing that comes in contact with the food, as long as you get the metal aspect of it kashered in the kli rishon, so then it's going to be mutter. Why? As we explained before, kasavar, because his shita is kiboiloi kach poltoi. The same way the chametz goes in, so too that's how the chametz comes out. And his shita is that's talking about that will apply to the sorry. Now, I the case I explained over here was talking about the next Gemara. This case was just simply a ladle. This was simply a ladle. His shita
glazed,
is
glazed.
Is it glazed? No, the next case is glazed.
It's first.
What?
Yeah.
The next case is glazed. This case is just a regular ladle that you dip into a kli rishon. So the next case is the glazed case. This is just talking about samazai, a kli that you use to stir the pot. So his chiddush was not a problem. You just have to stick it back into the pot. But this shita is the reason why we don't paskin like this is because he says that's true even by earthenware. Now we don't hold that true. We don't hold that's true by earthenware. We hold that's true by metal and by wood, but not by earthenware. By earthenware, we say that even once it goes in, it will never fully come out, so you can't kasher it. But his shita was that no, every material, however it goes in, that's how it will come out. Now the Gemara asks the shayla about the glaze that I was just discussing. So boimene me'amemar, or they ask from a meimar, hani mani, these kelim, to kunyo, this that are glazed. This, that again, the inside is made out of earthenware, and they're glazed with metal on top. Ma'alash t'mushabei b'pischo, can I use them on Pesach? Because again, they're covered in the metallic covering. So the Gemara says, yuroiko lo tibayiloch, the green ones, that was never a question, because I guess that metallic cover doesn't really protect the inside as well. And avada goes into the earthenware, and once it hits the earthenware, you're never going to get out. The vadeh asiri, so therefore those kelim are for sure also. Kiti vaylach uchme v'chaviri. What about the black ones and the white ones? So again, it was a different type of material that you used. My so that they were much more protective of the earthenware. The hecha de ispa kartufni. So where there are cracks in the glaze in the covering, loyti vaylach the vadeh asiri. Also, there's no question that they're for sure also, because the food gets directly in contact with the earthenware, and it's gonna for sure be aser. Kiti vayloch the sheet. The question is only in the context where the covering is a complete smooth covering, and it definitely protects the earthenware underneath completely. So my, what's the halach over there? Can you kasher them? Amalei chazina luhu. We see the midaisi. So we see that it sweats, meaning we see that when you heat up the kli, the stuff comes out through the layers. And since it's coming out through the layers, that means that the food really did go into the earthenware, and even though it's glazed, it did get in. So once it gets in, it's never going to come out. So we see alma bli, so it does absorb. We see that it absorbs vasiri, and therefore it's also because vahatera heida al klichera she'eno yoytzim idei doifon doifyav lo'olam. That once something goes in, once food gets absorbed, whether it's iser or heter, whatever it is, but whatever gets absorbed in is never really going to fully come out, and therefore it remains inside the kli, and it's going to be awesome. Oh, so if so, that it remains completely awesome. So how come by yayin nesach this is a storing wine inside a barrel? The Darish Meremer, that Meremer said, mani de kunyo, that you have these barrels that the yayin uchma. Kunyo, these barrels, ben uchma ben chaviri, even whether they're black or white, ben yeruki, even the green ones, shari, are going to be completely mutter. And there it didn't make a difference what the materials were. We said everything is completely mutter, even though you were storing yayin, which could be a problem of yayin nesach. B'chitema Yayin Nesach, the Rabbanon. And if you want to tell me that we're talking about not real Yayin Nesach, but a gzeira of Yayin Nesach, it's only the Rabbanon, and that's why we're not machmer. And chametz daraisa, whereas chametz is daraisa, and that's why we're so machmer, that's not a real difference, because kol tikkun Rabbanon kein daraisa tikkun, because when it comes to those type of takanas, the Rabbanon would have made the gzeiras in the same categorically the same as the way they do it by daraisa. And if it's also by daraisa, it would have been also by the Rabbanon also. So again, what is the difference? Amalei ze tashmisha alidei chamin ze tashmisha alidei tznoim. The difference is whether you use hot or cold. Hot gets absorbed into the keli that it's not ever going to come out. So therefore chametz is going to be aser and you can't do anything about it. Whereas yayin nesach is used primarily as cold, and even though it's halachically, because it sits in a clay for 24 hours, also has certain inyanim of absorption, but lamaisa, because it's cold, we say that kind of absorption can come out, and therefore for yayin nesach purposes we're going to say it's mutter. Again, mutter for using the kli. Obviously, the yayin nesach itself is going to be aser, but once you pour out the yayin nesach, you want to know if you can use this barrel later in the future. The answer is you can. Omar Rav bar Abba, Omar Rav Chia bar Ashi, Omar Shmuel, the name of Shmuel, Kol HaKelim Shemishtam Shubahen Chometz B'Tzoynein. So therefore, if you have certain kelim vessels that you only use for cold purposes, let's say you have a pitcher that you use for lemonade or something, Mishtamash Behen Matzah, you're able to use them on Pesach for matzah purposes. We are machmer because we have a different kelim. But halachically, it would be mutter. We're machmer by glass, right. But again, halachically, according to the Gemara, we're not reading Shulchan Aruch here, but according to the Gemara, if you only use it for cold purposes on chametz, you're allowed to use it on Pesach. Except chutzman beisar, except for those things, let's say your wife, or you have a keli that you use to make challah in, make bread in, dough in. So those kelim, even though they're cold, they're going to be aser to use on Pesach. Hoil shechimutza kosher, because it's a very, very powerful chametz that gets absorbed in a way much more powerful, and therefore can never be cleansed all the way. Amar Rav Ashi, who beis charoises kebeis saor. And beis charoises, which Rashi explains, is that vinegar that also is a very poignant, is very strong effect that has chametz. It's no different than the beisar with the yeast also that you make the bread with. Shechimutza kosher dami. It's also considered like the bread has very powerful absorption and therefore is going to be aser on Pesach. So Amarav, according to this yisoid, Hani Agni, these kalim, the mechuzah that they used to use for kneading the bread, but it was more like a basket. Hoil the tadiri, since they're constantly, the melish bruh, they're constantly using to knead bread in chamira, it's considered chametzik. That they use to knead the dough in it. Umashubu chamira, and they keep the dough and they leave the dough in there over time. Kibesar, it's like besar, shechimutza kasha, and it's very powerful, and therefore that basket remains usher, even on Pesach, even though they only used it for cold items. So pshita, so again, we said anything that's used for besar is always going to be usher, because it's very powerful. So he says, however, ma'od detema, I would have thought this is different, because remember, talking about a basket, let's say it's a wicker basket, kiven de ravchosh, de ravicho, shoaz buhu, since ear goes in and out, so it really doesn't have the same kind of absorption in it, because ear goes in and out, so it doesn't absorb the same way, kamash balon, we say, no, that doesn't make a difference, because if it's used for besa'ar, it's going to be awesome. All right, let's just start the next Mishnah, which is, we'll have to explain again next time, but We'll start it to get the Yisoidus down. Nachri Shehilva Es Yisro Al Chimtza. So a guy lent money to a Yid, and the collateral for the chametz, the collateral for the loan was chametz. So we're going to come out L'maskanas Gemara that the Yid actually gave the chametz today to hold the collateral in the guy's house. But the Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah just simply says he made the chametz his collateral. So the halacha is achra pesach mutter bahano, that chometz that was designated as the collateral is going to be mutter even bahano, mutter bahano after Pesach, and vice versa. The Yisrael shehulva es nachri alchim, so the other way around, where a Jew lent money to a guy and again took collateral, well, we'll see, physically took a collateral, but for now we'll just say he had a shibud, he had a lien on the collateral of chometz, achra pesach aser bahano, it's going to be aser bahano. So that's the Mishnah. The idea is that my collateral is considered in the possession of the lender. That's the yisoid, and we'll see when that works. It's not always 100%.
Collateral considered in possession.
Considered in the possession of the loiva, and we'll see that again. The case the Mishnah is going to say is that the physical possession was also
in the hands of the malva,
right, in the lender's hands. So the Gemara asks this is a big shas sugya. Itvar, we learned baal choiv. Let's say in general, when you have somebody who lends a second person money, so the lender, what is his relationship to the collateral? That's the Gemara's question over here. Abaya Omar Limafreya Hu Goyva. Abaya says, when it turns out that the guy doesn't repay the loan, so I end up collecting the collateral, we look at it, we view it as if I had the collateral as mine the entire time. Since at the time of the loan, now I'm not talking about, just to keep things simple because this is very complicated, but to keep it simple, we're not talking about collateral that maybe I gave in the middle of the loan, we're talking about as I gave the loan, when I lent the money, I designated at that time a specific item or field or whatever it is, a specific thing that is going to be given as collateral. And then it turns out at the end that he did not pay the loan, and per the terms of the loan, I have the right to collect that collateral as repayment of the loan. So now, in full or in part, whatever it is, but I took that collateral. The question is, when was that collateral technically mine? Was it mine just today on day 30 when I didn't collect back the payment, the dollar payment? Or was it mine really when he designated, when he put the lien on originally? So Abaya says, retroactively, it's as if it was really mine the entire time. Rava says, no, it wasn't mine until now. It was simply a lien. This is, by the way, for those lawyers out there, this is the difference between a mortgage versus a deed of trust. A deed of trust is the etzem that it's really the lender's now, and they just give the borrower the right to use it until the lender takes it. A mortgage, on the other hand, is just a lien. A mortgage, we live in New Jersey, is a mortgage state, which means that it really belongs to the borrower. It belongs to the borrower, and the lender has a lien on the property, so that if the lender wants to go, so this is the machlekes between the western states and the eastern states is really a machlekes Abaya and Rava, whether or not it's a mortgage versus a deed of trust. That's the lumdish difference.
What's the deed?
California, Texas. They have a deed. A lot of states. And some of the southern states also have deeds of trust. Whatever, but that's the machlekes between Abaya and Rava. So whether Abaya says, I really had it the whole time, so, and Rava says, no, it's just a lien, and when I eventually get it, that's when it becomes mine. Now, so where is the nafka mina? We'll just do one or two more lines. Where is the nafka mina between these two gemara, the two shitas? What difference does it make? Because at the end of the day, it becomes mine. So kol hecha ta'aktish loiva, if the loiva, the borrower, went ahead and decided, you know what, this, my house that has a lien on it, I want to make it hektish. He donates it to hektish. Or the borrower goes ahead and sells the piece of property to somebody else. Everybody agrees that the malva, the lender, can go ahead and say, you had no right. This lien on it trumps anything else you're going to do with it. You have no right to sell it. And everybody agrees that the malva can go ahead and take it back from the new purchaser. And the malva also can go ahead and take it back from Hektish. So even though he donated the loiva in the goodness of his heart, donated his heart to Hektish and then never paid his mortgage. So everybody agrees that the lender is able to go ahead and take that back. However, just with one little caveat, it's not, we learned in the Mishnah, Moisef oy dinner upoides and echosim ha'elu. That the lender, when he takes it back, because it's hektish, you can't just take things from hektish without paying for it. So the lender's going to have to pay an extra dollar. He's going to have to pay something to hektish just to get it back. But certainly, the point is that it's not a final sale. It's not a bona fide sale.
It should look as if,
and not only look as if it is, you are redeeming it. Because halachically, even real value, even $1 million, if I give hektish a dollar, it's already redeemed. I'd rather owe hektish the other $999,000. But in terms of the redemption actually occurs is the moment I pay the first dollar. That's halachically the way it is also. So over here also, the fact that I'm never going to go back and pay up the rest of the value, that's between me and Hektish. The malva, the lender, doesn't have that issue. Whereas a regular person would have that issue. But the point is that, you always have to pay something to take something from Hektish. Even if it's not the real value, you have to pay something.
You know, he gets 100% here.
Who?
Rashi
makes it sound like you actually pay 100% plus a dollar. That's how Rashi does.
The Malva has the right. He's really the right. Just if we give a dollar, it's just also it's a more, like almost like not more sign, but like all, you know, yeah, in structure.
I think because it's people not really
should, people, should people, yes, we're not hectic. We don't want people to
right.
make a mistake later on. So, oh, you can take hectic without being part of it.
Right, and that's all he pays. He pays a dollar.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying, but there's no obligation. You made it seem like a little bit, it's a little fuzzy. You missed like a little bit an obligation after the dollar. No, I'm saying no.
Well, normally, using the normal example.
Right, right.
The normal example is if Hektish owns a chair and I want to buy it from Hektish. Really, all I have to do to redeem it, for the purposes of making it no longer hektish, and for example, if I sit on the chair, I'm not mile, I'm not over the issur of me'ilo, I just have to pay hektish a dollar.
Right.
Then I'll owe hektish the other $15 that the chair costs. But in terms of the redemption actually only occurs with a dollar. So the malda has to do the redemption process. And that's anything. Just a dollar, whatever it is, something. You give something to Hektish for purposes of the redemption. Now, who has to pay the rest of the value of Hektish that Hektish lost out that no one's paying? That's a different story. That's not our sugya over here. In any event, the point is, I just want to do one more line. The point is that you see that the borrower has no right to sell or give away his property. Ki pligi, the machleika says, and we'll stop with this, the zavin malve, the kaddish malve, where the lender went ahead and he donated it or sold it to somebody else prior to the end, the loan maturity. So then when the loan matures, then all of a sudden the lender decides to move into the house. The lekech shows up and says, "What do you mean? What are you doing here? You sold it to me." So the question is that sale that the lender did prior to the maturity date, is that a real sale or not? So Abaye says, yes, it's a good sale because it was really yours the whole time and you had the right to sell it during that early time. Because once the time comes and he didn't pay, it comes out retroactively, that it was really mine the whole time. So therefore it was okay for me to make it hektish. It was mine and it was okay for me to sell it. He says, no, it was only mine when it turns out that he didn't pay me back the money, so I got to keep it to Ilu Havele Zuze, because if he had money at the maturity date, Havim Masalik Leib Zuze, he would have paid me off. Ishtakach, that it comes out to Hashta Kokani, so therefore I really only bought it now. And therefore, since I only bought it now, anything that the lender does with the property prior to the maturity date is not considered his, and it's not Chal at all, and the lender, according to Rava, can kick out the purchaser and say, this is my property. If you want to buy it, you have to buy it from me now.